Tonight is December 24th, or Tevet, the 12th of Tevet. This is the Gemara Shir, we're up to Sukkah, Daf Memcha, Samad Aleph, and we are learning, despite the fact that it's Nittelnacht. Because it's Nittelnacht, we are learning. Not despite, because of that. That's all. Okay. Nittelnacht is the Nacht, the night of Christmas, when a lot of people believed you should not be learning Torah. You should be playing cards tonight. Because it benefits. It's dangerous, and some say it's a benefit for. Taken. Nittel. Okay? Okay, double tie. Just a word, last week we spent the entire shiur on the second word of the Mishnah, Hasimcha Shmona, and the Gemara's discussion as to whether or not there's a mitzvah of Simcha on the night of Shmini Atzeres, the day of Shmini Atzeres, and the comparison between here and the Gemara in Maseches Sapsachim. I just wanted to say a word about the first word in the Mishnah, Hahalel Shmona. Despite the fact that in our Gemara share we spent oodles and oodles of weeks on just discussing all of the parameters of Hallel, just one word about a machlokes the Rambam and the Ramban, and two arguments that the Ramban advances, which I did not mention on during the course of our Gemara Pesachim share when we came across Hallel. The Rambam in Perek Gimel, the Mishnah says that a Hallel is Shmoina. So there is a fundamental machloikis between the Rambam and the Ramban as to whether or not the mitzvah of Hallel is a din de Oraisa or din de Rabbanan. The Rambam takes Hilchas Chanukah as the occasion to discuss all of the halachas of Hallel. After he describes the historical background of Chanukah, he then tells you there's a mitzvah to light candles, and before going into any of the details about the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neros, he uses that as an opportunity, and because he said that the days of Hallel are Yimei Hallel, Simcha v'Hallel, days of Simcha and Hallel. So he uses this as an opportunity to expand on the mitzvah of Hallel, and the Rambam writes, Kriyas HaHallel LeOlam Mitzvah MiDivrei Sofrim. Kriyas HaHallel LeOlam Mitzvah MiDivrei Sofrim. I don't want to get into the discussion tonight as to what exactly does the Rambam mean when he says Mitzvah MiDivrei Sofrim. It appears that it's a din derabbanan, yet the Rambam on several occasions uses the phrase MiDivrei Sofrim as something which appears to us as to be a din d'oraisa. For example, I would venture to say that everybody here, when they were mekadesh their wife, used the means of kesef. Kesef, I would imagine so. I don't know if anybody got married by giving his wife a document and saying, with the document says, Hareyat Mekudeshesli. I don't know if anybody did so. Everybody in Klal Yisrael uses kesef. And the Rambam says that the mitzvah of kesef is valid midivrei seifrim. What do you mean midivrei seifrim? That means midirabbanan, you're not married if you give a ring or a kesh equivalent. So apparently the Rambam from time to time uses midivrei seifrim to teach you about a halacha that is learnt out from the Yud Gimel Mido Shahatorah Nidrash Esbahen, and it happens to be a din d'oraisa. But here, at least, when the Rambam says "Le'olam mitzvah midivrei sofrim," the assumption is that he means it's only a din derabbanan, and he's coming to attack the Bahag. The Baal Halachos Gedolos said that the mitzvah of Hallel is a mitzvah d'oraisa, just as he counts the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah as a mitzvah d'oraisa. Just as he counts Mikra Megillah as one of the 613 mitzvot. And the Rambam's argument in Sefer HaMitzvos, how is it possible that something which has been legislated later on should be amongst the 613 commandments? How is that possible? 613 commandments originate at Sinai. How can you claim that Mikra Megillah originated at Sinai? And Ner Chanukah originated at Sinai? And Hallel, says the Rambam, how is it possible that it's a Din Doraisa if David HaMelech composed the Hallel? So says the Rambam. And I'll read you his words in Sefer HaMitzvos. Heyos ne'emar l'Moshe b'Sinai shi'itzaveinu kishiyeh be'acharit mimalkeinu v'yikra lanu ima yivanim kach v'kach yischayev lahadlik ner Chanukah hininu eini ro'eh she'echad yidameze o ya'ale b'machshavto. I can't believe that anybody in their right mind would say that it's a din d'oraisa. How's that possible? Since the mitzvahs were given at Sinai, I can't claim this. So the Ramban responds to the Rambam in the following way. Because the Ramban believes that at least Hallel on Yom Tov, as is our Mishnah, is a din d'oraisa. Certain times Hallel is a din d'rabbanan, and other times it's a din d'oraisa. And he attacks the Rambam's selection of the fact that the text had to originate from David HaMelech with the following couple of arguments. Mr. Rambam, you are the author of the opinion that tefillah is a d'oraisa. Ramban holds it's only mitrabbanan to daven every single day. But you, the Rambam, believe the beginning of Hilchas Tefillah, mitzvahs asay achas lehispalel la'avodas Hashem b'chol yom b'tefillah. Everybody after daven. Says the Ramban to Mr. Rambam, don't you agree that the Anshe Knesset Hagdoila made up the text of the Shmon Esrei? Everybody agrees that Anshe Knesset Hagdoila made up Shmon Esrei. So how do you claim that if the text was it was created later, that there is a mitzvah midoraisa to daven? Obviously, what do you believe? That the idea, the institution of tefillah is a din doraisa. And that before the Anshe Knesset Hagdoila, what did you do? You made up your own tefillah. Whatever you said as petition to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was adequate. Therefore, says the Ramban, the same thing could apply to Hallel. The mitzvah of Hallel is to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu during certain occasions. And that mitzvah is a mitzvah midoraisa. So there was no text of the Hallel to say, because David HaMelech, in all probability, composed those psalms. So you said something else. Rabbeinu Shel Olam, thank you for the miracles which you performed in the Yontov of Pesach, and I thank you and I say thank you. Thank you for the Yontov of Sukkot and having provided huts for us for so many years. What's the difficulty? That later on, when David HaMelech composed the text, Chazal said, you know what? This is better than your individual Hallel, better than my individual Hallel. Let's formalize the recitation of Hallel. So that's one argument which the Ramban, in his commentary on Sefer HaMitzvos, attacks the Rambam. Why do you, Rambam, believe that Hallel is a din d'oraisa? That it's a din d'rabbanan based on the fact that it was created by David HaMelech. Second argument, says the Ramban. Second, there happens to be an opinion in Maseches Pesachim, we read it during our Gemara Shir, that the author of Tehallel was Moshe Rabbeinu, said it at Kriyas Yamsuf. At the time of Kriyas, not only did he say Oz Yashir, Moshe Rabbeinu said Tehallel too. No, very nice. So there's no problem, Moshe Rabbeinu composed it. But furthermore, Mr. Rambam, there is nobody on the planet who says that Birchas HaMazon is not a din d'oraisa. Everybody says Birchas HaMazon is a din d'oraisa. And yet, the Gemara says that the second bracha, Yehoshua was misaken. The third bracha, David and Shlomo were misaken. So what happened before Yehoshua was born? There was no mitzvah Birchas HaMazon? Just because they formulated the text? Of course there was. You didn't have to, so you didn't say those particular praises. You didn't thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eretz, Chemda Toiva, and Bris Rosh. That Yehoshua is misaken. we did not include in Birchas Hamazon a tribute that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was built of Bnei Yerushalayim Mir HaKadosh Mir. We didn't say that. You're right. So there was another text, but the core mitzvah happens to be a din d'oraisa. And don't bring me any proof by virtue of the fact that the author of our systemized text happens to live afterwards. That's no proof whatsoever. And therefore the Ramban goes on to say, just as tefillah might be a d'oraisa, I don't agree with that, but despite the fact that the text was composed by Anshei Kesef HaGedolim, despite the fact that benching is a din d'oraisa l'chol ha'deos, it's a pasuk in the Chumash, v'achalta v'savata v'erachta, and nonetheless, the text was composed later on, post-Sinai. That does not necessarily bar one from claiming that that the mitzvah itself happens to be a din d'oraisa, and therefore the Ramban proposes that the recitation of Hallel is subsumed under the pasuk Mikra Kodesh. Every one of the Yomim Tovim are described as Shabbaton Mikra Kodesh. Mikra Kodesh, says the Ramban, means several things. To come to shul, to read the Torah, to daven a little longer, and to say Hallel. And therefore, Hallel on Yom Tov, which our Mishnah says, HaHallel Shmona, according to the Ramban, happens to be a Dinda Oraisa. Dinda Oraisa. There is one Gemara that seems to support the Rambam, that it is a din de Rabbanan, is a Gemara in Brachos on Daf Yudal and Amud Aleph. The Gemara there is discussing the following situation. I'm in the middle of Hallel, and somebody says, Shalom Aleichem. Are you allowed to respond? Aleichem Shalom. So the Gemara says that Hallel and Megillah, you should be able to respond, because after all, they're only midrabanan. And if you're allowed to respond in the middle of Kriyashma, which is a doraisa, certainly you're allowed to respond in the middle of Hallel, which is only a din derabanan. So says the Gemara in Brachos. So if we allow, bein haprakim and beemtza haprakim, certain responses in the middle of Kriyashma, which is certainly a din doraisa, so as a result, you should definitely be able to respond if the whole mandated obligation to recite that is only midrabanan. As a result, this would undoubtedly support the Rambam's position that the recitation of Hallel is indeed midrabanan. But you should at least know this machloikis between the Rambam and the Ramban, where the Hallel on Yom Tov is a midrabanan. The Rambam says, Kriyas HaHallel le'olam midivrei seifrim, and according to the Ramban, it is a mitzvah midoraisa, at least on Yom Tov time.
What is sofrim mean again?
What? Sofrim? Okay, according to our, the most prevalent use of the Rambam, sofrim is of rabbinic origin. Means rabbinic origin. Even though I tell you, it's not such a davar pashut, because there are times when the Rambam used such terminology, even when dealing with the din d'oraisa. I told you, Kesef Kedushin. The Rambam in Perek Aleph of Hasidus says, it's midivrei seifrim, you're allowed to use Kesef.
The mitzvah of Simcha, is that the Rabbanan d'oraisa here?
100% d'oraisa.
And we don't care if the Mishnah is mixing things up according to the Rambam?
No, we don't. Absolutely not. The Mishnah's point here is only to tell us how long it is. We mixed up other things then also. We said lulav shisha v'shiva, and sukkah is shiva. Same Mishnah. Well, lulav is the rabbanan, the rest of the yantiv. Only midoraisa one day.
The Mishnah is not talking about. When's the Mishnah talking?
The Mishnah says lulav shisha v'shiva, shisha v'shiva, and sukkah. The next word of the Mishnah is sukkah is shiva. So it was the previous Mishnah. So the Mishnah is talking about the mitzvahs which are noheg on sukkahs. The purpose of these sequence of Mishnayos is to let us know how many days of the Yom Tov Sukkot they are, not focusing whether they are d'oraisa or d'indina d'rabbana. Okay, let's move on to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah is a very critical Mishnah and is subject to a titanic machloikis, Rashi and the Rambam. says the Mishnah, Sukkah Shiva. The mitzvah of Sukkah applies 7 days. Ketzad. Gomar mile echol, if somebody finished eating on Hoshana Rabbah, lo yatir et sukkato, he should not take apart his sukkah. Why shouldn't you take it apart? Because if you want to eat 5 minutes later or 2 hours later, you have to eat in the sukkah. It's still Hoshana Rabbah. Avo morid es hakelim min amincha ulamala mipnei kvod yom tov ha'achron shachak. But what he can do is he can take his utensils out from after mincha onward because of Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres, he's going to be eating in the house. And since there is a mitzvah of Kvod Yom Tov is always defined as preparing for Yom Tov on Erev Yom Tov. Hoshana Rabbah is Erev Shmini Atzeres. Since you're going to be eating in the house, from Mincha and onward, you can take all of your utensils and bring them into the house. So all of your nice silver and your crystal glasses, they can be brought into the sukkah, into the house, from a Mincha and onward, but you are not permitted to go ahead and tamper with the sukkah at all. So now we're going to read the Gemara, and we'll see what happens, what the Gemara says. Very short Gemara, but it's action-packed. Ein lo kelim lahorid mahu. If he doesn't have anything to take out of his sukkah, right, what should he do? What do you mean, what should he do? So don't take him out. Who do I care? Don't take him out. The Gemara can't imagine that. Elaki ishtamesh. What's he been eating with all sukkahs if he has nothing to take out? What's he been eating with? The Gemara didn't think about paper plates that you've been discarding. So either you have utensils or you don't have. The assumption is you had something to eat, because otherwise, how would you have fulfilled the mitzvah of eating in a sukkah all 7 days? Ella, what does the Gemara mean? Ein lo makom lahorid kelav mahu. I don't have any place but my sukkah. I don't have a permanent home. So if I don't have a permanent home, what am I going to be doing on Shmini Atzeres? I have only one option on Shmini Atzeres. Where am I going to be eating? In the sukkah. But here comes a problem. It happens to be Shmini Atzeres, and if I'm eating in the sukkah, that'll violate the law of Baal Tosef. So what do I have to do to demonstrate that I'm eating in the sukkah, but I don't intend to violate the law of Baal Tosef? I'm not eating l'shem mitzvah. Says the Gemara, there are going to be two suggestions. Rabchia barav Omar, poches ba'arba'a. Poches ba'arba'a. So there are going to be 5 or 6 interpretations what that phrase means. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omar, Madlik Bo Es Haner. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, you should light a candle, light your candles inside the sukkah. Velo Pligi, Halon V'Halahu. One is applicable to Eretz Yisrael, and one is applicable to Bavel. And Rashi will explain everything. Let's take a look at Rashi. Ein lo makom, Rashi, ein lo makom. Ein lo makom acher le'echol sham b'yantav ha'achron. The person doesn't have any place to take out the utensils which he's been eating with all sukkahs. He's got plenty of utensils. He's got beautiful silver and beautiful stemware, but no house. So now the problem is, what's he going to do to demonstrate that he's not going to violate Baal Tosef? So initially, the Gemara says, "Ma ya'aseh lahochiach," says Rashi, "she'eino mosif al hamitzvah la'asot sukkah shmona yamim." What will he do to demonstrate that he's not planning on being mosif to add to the yantav of sukkahs? Answers the Gemara, "Poches ba'arba'a." Arba Tfachim Uposla. Okay? Nobody look any place yet. Tell me, what are you disqualifying by doing something in Dalit Tfachim and pasling the sukkah? What are you doing? Good. What are you doing with the schach?
Making a hole that's more than 4 tefachim wide.
Good. That's the simple interpretation which everybody thought. You take off sufficient schach to create a gap of 4 tefachim, and now a sukkah is puzzle. So once it's a puzzle sukkah, under those circumstances, nobody could accuse you of violating Baal Tosef. Because if there is a gap in the sukkah of 4 tefachim of empty space, under those circumstances, you will violate, you will not violate, you will disqualify the sukkah. Yes?
There's no concern of the muktzah?
Yeah, lo yatir at sukkato. What does that mean?
Okay, so you will not, you're not permitted to take it down. Right. That's correct. But right before Shmini Atzeres, you're going to have to do something in order, what? Not to violate the law of Baal Tosef. So what do? You go, you make a compromise. You can't take it down. For two reasons. Number one, you can't take it down on Yom... When would you want to take it down?
Well, they make a breach, same thing.
Okay, but you can't, because he's got to eat there. There's no place for him to eat. You're looking for a compromise. I can't take it down, not for halachic reasons. I can't take it down for practical reasons. I need a place to eat.
On Hoshana Rabbah.
On Shmini Atzeres. On Shmini Atzeres. I have no place to go. The only place where I have a bed and a table and my cable TV is in the sukkah. That's the only place I have. So what do you want me to do? I'm not taking it down even if you told me I'm allowed to take it down. The problem is, I will violate the law of Baal Tosef. Says the Gemara, no problem. You can keep your sukkah up. You can eat in it. Just make a demonstrative statement that the sukkah is pasul. How do you make a demonstrative statement? You take out sufficient schach, and as a result, the schach, the sukkah is now pasul. That's how 90% of Rishayim thought Rashi had in mind. The problem is, Tosis will ask the question, everybody asks, there ain't no such halacha that a schach is pasul, empty space is pasul with 4 tefachim. It's 3 tefachim. 3 tefachim of empty space pasuls in the middle of a sukkah. Empty space on the side of a sukkah does not pasul the sukkah for even dalet amos, up to 8 feet. 8 feet. Because there is an unusual halacha l'meishim Sinai called, what? Doifen akuma. That we make believe that the walls extend and turn in to reach the schach if they're up until dalet amos away. But in the middle of the sukkah, there's no halach of doifen akuma, so 3 tefachim automatically disqualify a sukkah. So Tosfos asks that question. Take a look at Rashi, and look at Tosfos. Poches bar arba tefachim. And Rashi added, uposla pekach. Uposla. You have to pasul the sukkah. Kach pirish bekundris. That's not the way Tosis understood it. That's going to be some Rishonim's explanation of Rashi, but Tosis doesn't want to accept it. V'teima, ma shiur huzeh ba'arba. What type of a shiur is it that for 4 tefachim it will be pasul, and less than 4 tefachim would be kasher? Where do we find such a thing? V'halo avir posel bishlosha, bein besuke gedola, bein besuke ktana, bein beemtza. Makes no difference. Makes no difference how big the sukkah is, small the sukkah is. As long as there's already 3 tefachim of empty space, the sukkah is pasul. So where did Rashi get 4 tefachim to explain what the Gemara had in mind? That's Tosis's kasha. That's the question that he asked. So there are a variety of answers to explain what's happening. So the Rabbeinu Peretz says, Rashi loydok. He didn't mean to say that what? That the sukkah can only be pasul if there's 4 tefachim. It's not, no. He just said, Rashi didn't mean it. 3 would also be okay. The Mishnah says 4. But it didn't really mean four. Three would have been sufficient as well. That's one explanation. The Meiri and the Rush, Tosfos Rush, right? What Moshe wanted to suggest. No, the Rashi meant it seriously. Posla is only four because it has to be nikar to everybody that it's possible. Has to be readily identifiable. And if it's three, you know, it's hard to see whether it's three or four. When it's four tvachim, it's obvious to one and all that it has reached a point where it's definitely possible, and hence you should do four just lehekera, to make sure that everybody recognizes that this sukkah has been puzzled. But technically speaking, if it had been more than three, it would have been puzzled as well. The Mishnah is just telling us, make sure that what? It's really, really three, so you do it by four, everybody notices it happens to be four. That's the way Tosfos HaRosh and the Meiri write. Then there is another opinion which says that the reason why it says four is based on the fact that we're talking about a sukkah. There is a difference as to how many walls the sukkah happens to have. How many walls the sukkah happens to have. If a sukkah has three walls, as the Mahalacha requires, only three walls, that will passel with what? With a gap of only three tefachim in the three tefachim, but for a sukkah, says the Ritva, that has four walls, you need a greater indication that the sukkah is pasul, based on the following fact. Let's assume I have a gap of three tefachim in the middle. Why is the sukkah pasul? Just sit on the part of the sukkah that what? That has, because the sukkah only needs three walls. So which wall? I'll count one wall, two walls. And the other one, all you need is what? One little tefach. That's all you need. So, therefore, in order to demonstrate that if it would be a sukkah of only three walls, you're right, the Gemara would have said, three tefachim is plenty. But in a sukkah of four walls, you need a greater heker, and that indeed is four tefachim. And it's to be taken literally.
Is it a heker or a shir?
No, it's a shir psul. Okay. If it happens to be a sukkah of dalet mechitzot. So says the Ritva. So says the Ritva. The next opinion is offered by Rabbeinu Yonasan Milunel from the Chachmei Lunel, and he said, everybody is making here a supposition that all you did is remove the schach and it was blank in the middle. No. What does it mean? You put schach pasul up. Why? Why are you putting schach pasul up? Because this guy has to live there. Now, if you're going to make a hole in the middle, this is not the Dallas Stadium where you make a big hole in the middle and then you put a scoreboard going from the 20-yard to the 20-yard line. You want to live there for Shmini Atzeres. And if you want to live there, you're not going to want to have a hole because flies are going to get in, rain is going to get in. You want to make sure it's closed up. So what do? You take off the kosher schach and you put in the what? Pasul schach. The halacha is schach Pasul be'emtza is posel only with dalet tefachim, not gimel tefachim. Avir, blank space, is posel three tefachim of blank space. But this guy, why would he go ahead and just create a blank? He's got to live there. And as a result, says the Rabbi Chachmei Lunel, it has nothing, nobody ever said that you had to leave it blank. It says, posla dalet Posla, you use dalet tefachim and you pasul it. Poches ba dalet, you reduce it by dalet. Yeah, reduce it what? You reduce the kosher schach, replace it with the pasul schach, and that amount, which happens to be pasul, is established previously in many sugyas, that schach pasul be'emtza is only dalet tefachim. only Dalet Vachem. Then there is a Rabbeinu Gershom cited by the Shibalei Haleket who says the halacha is really only three. Only three. All you need is three. The problem is what happens here. If you're going to have three, there is a famous halacha known as E'efshar L'tzamtzem. It's hard to be precise and exact. So when a guy is going to think that he took out exactly three tefachim worth, what did he actually take out? 2.9. Now 2.9, the sukkah is still puzzle. Still kosher, rather. Still kosher. And then he'll violate the law of Baal Tosef. So in order to make sure that he winds up with three, what does the Mishnah say? Take out four tefachim, just to guarantee that you will indeed have three tefachim. But it's not that the three tefachim are absolutely, four tefachim are necessary. No, it's just to cover and guarantee that you will have ultimately the three that are required. So there are various explanations as to what the Mishnah has in mind, and how do you passle it by four, and you don't have to worry about Tysus's question, hey, three already passled, where do you ever find schach, empty avir is passled with four? That was Tysus's kasha, and he left it a kasha, because maybe he didn't mean that, he meant the walls, maybe he meant a lot of things. Maybe he meant a lot of things. Then there is another answer which the Chachmei Lulanel give and say that the reduction is not in the schach at all. It's in the walls. Ah. Because what is the smallest size sukkah that the Gemara has allowed? Who remembers? No. Zion al Zion Tfachim. That was the smallest sukkah. Now, a sukkah, I want you to try that tonight. A sukkah that is 7 by tefachim by 7 tefachim, and see how much of your carcass you can get into that sukkah. I need a table and everything and a bed. 7 by 7. It's not very big. So the point was that if you take off 4 tefachim, what's missing? How are you disqualifying the sukkah then? You don't have four walls. You don't have any walls. You don't have, exactly. You don't. It's talking about a sukkah with what? Two and a tefach. Well, if you take off the majority of one of the two, which had four tefachim, which had seven tefachim, and now you take off four, that's not a wall at all. Not a wall. So the reason why the sukkah is disqualified is because it doesn't have three walls. It only has two walls, and two walls don't make a sukkah. That's another explanation.
This Mishnah is giving you advice based on that one sukkah alone? Or?
Yeah, that it's giving you, if you wanted a pasul, the bare minimum sukkah. And the bare minimum sukkah is Zion al Zion. So the Mishnah here is talking about how to pasul a bare minimum sukkah. Just knock off one of the walls, that it should no longer have a lach of wall, because it doesn't even have the majority of the bare minimum. Bare minimum.
The guy was a regular sukkah, and
he'll need a little more. He'll need something else to passel it. So if he wants to passel his wall, if it's 5 feet, he'll have to knock off for 2.5 feet. But more than 2.5 feet.
But if he has four complete walls, and we're assuming he has to knock off whatever walls it takes.
Yeah.
That's
what the Mishnah is telling us. Okay. You disqualify by ultimately knocking out the walls. Nothing to do with the schach. And that was the other answer. You know, you're opening up yourself wide open. It's a little difficult.
Before sukkah, this guy, he lives here all year round, basically, is the assumption?
That's not our concern if he lives here all year round. All we know is that he's got no place to go Shmini Atzeres. No place. Well, I'll tell you what the situation. Very simple. This guy owns an apartment in Kiryat Wolfson. That's it. But for sukkahs, he gets $5,000 for renting it for those 8 days. And it's an American, he ain't moving out to Shmini Atzeres, so he has to start in a sukkah. Right after sukkah, he's moving back into Kiryat Wolfson. He's a rich man. But how did he become rich? By renting out his apartment for Pesach and for Shavuos and for sukkahs. he charges 20 grand for Pesach and he goes to a hotel, right, with his family. And for Sukkot, he charges. So he sleeps in the Sukkot all 8 days. That's it.
I'm glad we clarified that. Well,
that's the way to do it. There are lots of such people who move out of their house for Sukkot and for Pesach. They move out of their apartment because they know they can get exorbitant prices. There are people in Deal who move out of their house for the summer because they're knocking you off, ripping you off for $30,000 for the summer. So they'll take a place someplace in Brooklyn for a couple of weeks. Then they got 30 grand for the summer because they know that's a prime location. Just remember it all the time. Okay. I want you to take a look at the Rambam, which I distributed for you. And you will see that the Rambam, the Ravid, attacks the Rambam right on the spot. Says the Rambam, Gomar mile'echol bayom hashvi'i b'shachris lo yatiru sukkaso. He should not take apart a sukkah. Avol morid hu is kelov u'mifana osa min amincho l'mala. Ein lo makom l'fanos poches bar arba al arba. Vim hutzrach lisod b'sharayom tzorech lechol b'sukkah shemitzvaso kol shiva. So if he has no play, ain lo makom lefanot, so then you disqualify the sukkah. Disqualify the sukkah. So now, take a look at the Ravid. Kosaf ha-Ravid zal, eini yodea mahu zeh. I have no idea what the Rambam's talking about. Eini yodea mahu zeh. So how did the Ravid understand the Rambam? And he said, what in the world is the Rambam talking about? What in the world is the Rambam talking about? Okay, so obviously the Ravid didn't think that the Rambam was quoting the Mishnah the way our Mishnah is to be read, the way we read it.
What part of the Rambam is he talking about?
The word b'shachris.
On the what?
What part of the Rambam is he talking about? The first part or the second part?
No, he's commenting on the first. Gomar milechol. That's the Rambam's first words.
He has the word b'shachris.
Okay. So what do you think the Ravid had in mind about the Rambam that's making him Eini Yodea Mahu Zeh? I have no idea what he's talking about. What is the Ravid? What is the Rambam saying?
If you're not giving up a shachrit, it's not a full 7 days.
What's the meaning of mefaneh? What does that mean?
What?
The word mefaneh? What does that mean?
Yeah. Mefaneh means you remove. Mifana lefanot. Lefanot means to remove. Min amin cholamala.
That wasn't the Mishnah.
What takes place between?
Yeah, the Mishnah just says, "Moedis hakele min amin chol nekvod yom tevachron."
Rambam cuts off the day at Shachris.
Okay. No, but he writes at the end. Vim hutzrach lisod b'shar hayom tzorach lechol b'sukkah shemitzvaso kol shiva. So he's what? No, he's telling you that if you happen to want to, if you plan on eating in your sukkah, then don't do anything because you have to eat in the sukkah all 7 days. Till the end of Shoshana Rabbah, you have to eat in the sukkah. So the previous statement, which I'm telling you to empty out the sukkah, is when? If you know for you're not hungry. Exactly. If you're not for fresh, I'm not going to be hungry. So what should I do? What should I do?
Take apart myself.
No, no. Clean out the sukkah. Exactly. It's shachris in the morning. I'm not planning on eating. And what do? I clean out. That's the way the Ravid understood the Rambam. And therefore he asks, What do I have to clean out my sukkah? Why do I have to clean out my sukkah? Just because I'm not planning on eating? Why do I have to clean out my sukkah? That's exactly how the Ravid understood the Rambam. That the Rambam says, Gomar milecha b'yemishi b'shachris. In the morning. Lo yatir sukkah. What do you do? But clean out your stuff. Why? Why should I clean it out? Why? Okay. What?
Rambam doesn't say that. Misha says it.
That's correct. The Rambam doesn't say that it's mitikol yotav ha'achron. He just says mifane eskelav and amin cholamal. So the Ravid understood the Rambam, that the Rambam is telling us whether or not. Let's assume I'm going away for Shmiyat, so I'm not going to be home at all. I'm not going to be home. I have a chiv to clean out my sukkah. At least after mincha. The latest after mincha. And if you're not going to eat after shachris. Why? That's why the rabbi says, Mahusa, what's he talking about? Says Rab Chaim, this Rambam is the makar for everything that we ever know about with the Vilna Gaon. And I'm going to show you Ramban in Maseches Nida, who the Ramban buys into this as well. What Vilna Gaon am I referring to? The Gaon, as everybody knows, who made Havdalah Pesach at night specifically on beer. The Gaon made a practice, never believed in Chamar Medina for Havdalah. Chamar Medina means a drink that was a widespread drink. The Gemara says you're allowed to make Havdalah and Chamar Medina. The Gaon said, under no circumstances, unless you have no wine. But if you have wine available, you must make Havdalah al Hayay. Because the Gaon bought into the Rambam, that the Rambam says that the mitzvah of Havdalah is part of the mitzvah of Zachar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshei. Kadsheyu b'knisato u'b'yitziyato. And just as the halacha says Zachreyu al Hayayin is by Kiddush, so too Zachreyu al Hayayin by Havdalah as well. Therefore, mitta oraisa, you must make Havdalah, and whatever it is, at least lechatchila, it should be al Hayayin. And yet, the Gaon Motsoi Pesach went into a bar on the way home and bought a beer. I always like to say there's a machloikis whether he bought a Miller Lite or a Bud Light. It's machloikis, what the Gaon bought. But he bought a beer. So everybody says, what was running through the Gaon's mind? He wanted to demonstrate that the reason why he was not eating chametz up until now was not because he has suddenly acquired a distaste for what? For chametz. No. The only reason why I didn't eat my ringdings was on account of the fact that what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me no ringdings. The minute there is a ringding available, I'm going for it. And everybody used to ask, this is quoted in Maaser Rav of the Gaon in the Siddur, Maaser Rav. And everybody asked on the Gaon, where did he get this halacha? Where did you have to make the demonstration? Says Rab Chaim, this is the Rambam that is the source for it. The Gaon also had a practice of bedafka eating chadash on the 18th day of the month of Nisan. On the 18th day of the month of Nisan, he ate chadash. The halacha is that the isur of chadash, that you're not permitted to eat new grain, is a din de oraisa. It's a din de oraisa according to 99% of all rishayim. There is a famous Bach and a famous Taz that tries to work legal gymnastics, loopholes, to justify all of Klal Yisrael who were never makpid on Chadash. Never. And the reason why they were not makpid is because you would starve to death. That's the reason. Not to eat any grain until the Korban Omer is brought, or in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, Ad Etzem HaYoyim HaZeh. Until the 16th day arrives. And Bizman HaZeh, when you have Sveka the Yoyma, or 2 days Yantiv, it's until the end of the 17th day. Well, the Gaon on the Motsoi 17th day, entering into the 18th night, the Gaon ate Chadash. Ate Chadash. To demonstrate that the reason why I did not eat Chadash is not because I wasn't interested in it, I like Yashan grain. No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mitzaveh, and as a result, under those circumstances, I am definitely going to eat Chadash now to demonstrate now you're allowed to eat it, up until now you aren't. So Rab Chaim said, this Rambam, which the Ravid is getting hysterical about, is the author of this particular position. Namely, that whenever you complete a mitzvah, you have to demonstrate that the only reason why I observed this mitzvah or did this or observed this isur is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do so. Told me to do so. So now, flip the page. Flip the page. And I will show you an interesting Ramban. This is the Ramban's commentary on Maseches Nida. The Gemara there is talking about, look at the top right hand page before you look at the bracketed section. Ulebnei ba'arava dimevarchin bosin de saliku tefilayu lishmar chukav. In Eretz Yisrael there was a practice that whenever you took off your tefillin at night, you made a bracha. When you took off your tefillin, asher kedishanu b'mitzvaso v'tzivanu lishmar chukav. Why do you make a bracha lishmar chukav? Because you want to demonstrate that I am not wearing tefillin because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says not to wear tefillin tonight. The pasuk says in Parshat Bo, v'shamarta et hachukah hazot lemoada miyomim yomima. Now there is a titanic machlokes which chuk we are referring to. Some say the context of the parsha is talking about Pesach. So it's the chuk of Korban Pesach. And miyomi miyomi means from year to year. Miyomi miyomima, from year to year. I'm going to observe the Korban Pesach. Don't think that the Korban Pesach is an isolated one-time experience, but every single year I want you to observe a Korban Pesach. We know historically that Am Yisrael didn't do so. We know that for a fact. That after the first Korban that was brought, after the second year, they did not offer a Korban Pesach until Yehoshua entered Eretz Yisrael. 38 years in the Midbar, they didn't offer a Korban Pesach.
The one in Mitzrayim, one after that? And
that is correct. The one after that we know about, because they were reminded about Pesach Sheni then, right, on the first anniversary of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Then, from the time of Yehoshua, until when? Until Yoshiyahu. So anybody who studies Tanakh, how many years is that? A couple of hundred years. How do I know that? Because in the Haftarah of the second day of Pesach, we say, Kilo Asu Hesa Pesach Mimos Yehoshua Benun. That's what Yoshiyahu is saying. Black on white. They didn't do it. I have no idea why. So for the 38 years in the desert, and then Yehoshua, and then after, during the entire Shoftim period, half the Malachim, they didn't offer Korban Pesach until Yehoshua ben Nun. Till the time of Yoshiyahu. Strange. So we read it, second day of Pesach, Pesach Yoshiyahu. First day is Pesach Yehoshua, second day is of Yantav is Pesach Yoshiyahu. So the Ramban says, so however we interpret that Pasuk, V'shamarta sachuka hazos, not the chuk of Korban Pesach, the chuk of tefillin. And the Pasuk is saying, I want you to be careful and observe this mitzvah of tefillin from day to day. Not from year to year, from day to day. And mid the oraisa, one is not permitted to wear tefillin at night. So when you take off your tefillin, as the sun sets, why are you doing so? To demonstrate that I buy into the fact that mid the oraisa, there's no mitzvah of tefillin at night. So they said, this particular bracha. Piresh Rabbeinu Tam b'sefer Hayasha Shalai Shelo Amru Ela B'tfilin Avol B'tzitzis Ushara Mitzvot Ein Mivarech La'achar Asiyasan. However, by tefillin and by tzitzis and any other mitzvah, you do not make the bracha upon terminating that particular mitzvah. You do not make the bracha. And in fact, the Rav once suggested that our bracha, which we recite when you put on the Shel Rosh, our mitzvah's tefillin, is in effect a commemoration of that bracha of Lishmar Chukav. Because there is no reason to have a second Birchas HaMitzvah when you put on the tefillin Shel Rosh. The bracha of Lehaniach, it perfectly is okay. Lehaniach tefillin is tefillin Shel Yad, and Lehaniach tefillin Shel Rosh. That's the mitzvah, Lehaniach. Al mitzvahs is a very strange formulation of a text. You don't normally say al mitzvah something. You focus on the action. Lehaniach, lehaniach. So it'd be no, unless you are mafsik, there'd be no reason to say a second bracha. And in fact, Eidot HaMizrach paskin that way. Eidot HaMizrach. That the only time they say the second bracha is if they were mafsik between the first and the second hanacha. But if you only put a pasuk like the Rambam, who says you make one bracha? Why should there be two brachas? So our bracha of our mitzvah's tefillin, the Rav posited, was a commemoration of the bracha which was said upon taking off your tefillin, lishmar chukav. Since we don't take off, we take off our tefillin right away. We don't wear them all day. But that's what the Rabbeinu Tam said. Says the Ramban, I bracketed it later on. Look at the bracket. Avol nomar lefizeh ha'inyan, or lefizeh ha'perush, she'ein mivarchin al kol mitzvah, she'ein siluka gemara siyasa. You do not make a bracha anytime you personally finish a mitzvah. Kimo, poshet tzitzis bayom v'hayotze min asukah. If you take off your tzitzis at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you don't make a bracha. Or you walk out of the sukkah after you ate a meal, you don't make a bracha then. Avo balayla mivarchin ala tzitzis. But at night, when the mitzvah is indeed completely completed, you make the bracha. Lishmar chukav. I thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for having observed the mitzvah in its entirety. V'chein l'achar shofar v'lulav v'kol kayotze bohen she'asiyatan gimar milachtan mevarchen. Mevarchen. So Rab Chaim explained, what's running through the Ramban's mind? It's the exact same thing of this particular halacha. When I took a lulav, sorry, I said a brach shekshan and started smelling lulav, but now when I took the lulav, I loved it. Oh, it is such a wonderful activity. I just love the sound of that shofar. I love wearing tzitzis all day. Whenever you complete a mitzvah, you acknowledge that the only reason why I did this mitzvah was not because I gained any personal benefit. And what is the text for demonstrating that? Asher kedishanu b'mitzvah tzivanu lishmar chukav. Lishmar chukav. So we rejected the Ramban. We rejected the Ramban. And we accepted the Rabbeinu Tam's understanding that this particular bracha is recited only by tefillin if you wear them all day and you take them off at Shkiyas HaChama. Only Lishmar, because that's when it's recorded. So, because there is a different halacha there. Yeah. The halacha of tefillin is not based on the fact that the mitzvah of tefillin is only during the day. Quite the contrary. I don't believe that that pasuk refers to tefillin. And that the mitzvah lilas man tefillin. So why do I take off my tefillin if it's at night time? Because I want to guarantee that I preserve the kedusha of tefillin. So why? Why do I take it off? Just in case in the middle of the night I'll pass gas. Shema yafiach b'hem. So the taking off of the tefillin is in itself a mitzvah. What mitzvah am I demonstrating by taking them off that I'm concerned with shmirah of kedushas tefillin? Kedushas tefillin. Therefore, that's limited only to tefillin. That there's no parallel to that any other place. You know, so sleeping in tzitzis. Okay, there's no mitzvah to wear tzitzis at night. There's no isur to wear tzitzis at night.
There's no Easter to hold a lulav at night. You're not in a kind of mitzvah, but there's no Easter. Here, by tefillin, by wearing tefillin at night, you violate an Easter, you're not being careful with what? With Kedushas tefillin. Therefore, there is a bracha, lishmar chukav. I'm protecting the tefillin. But don't bring me any proofs. So we didn't accept the Ramban's interpretation that upon every completion of every mitzvah, you make a bracha. But whether we accept it or not, the principle, the yesod, remains with us. That there is an attempt or perhaps an obligation to demonstrate that what we do is done exclusively for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Said Rab Chaim, this is the Rambam. When you're finished eating sukkah, what do you want to demonstrate? I didn't do this because I love it out here. As soon as I'm finished with the mitzvah, what do? You take your stuff out. Whether you plan on being there, it's not for Yot V'achron. I'm just going home. I'm going to a hotel for Shemini Atzeres. But I have to demonstrate that I did this L'shem Mitzvah. Hence, when I'm finished with it, I empty it out. And this is the basis for the Gaon for eating Chadash, the basis for the Gaon and making Abdullah, and the Rav believed it was the pshat in that famous piyut of Hoshana of Shalom Ha'itzavos. Shabbos Shalom Ha'itzavos. Hoshana reads, Hoshana, Yosheves Umamtenes at Kilois HaShabbos. Hoshana, help us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in honor of the merit of people who sit and wait until the end of Shabbos. You wait and wait? Look at me. You sit and wait until the end of Shabbos? The answer is yes. As soon as the Shabbos is over, on goes the ball game. The second Shabbos is over, the game goes on right away. To the second. Why? Because you want to demonstrate the reason why I didn't watch the game up until that point, because the Giants stunk the place out. That's not the reason why. I also got sick of it after a while. I couldn't watch it anymore. But that's not the reason I didn't watch it on Shabbos. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said so. So the minute you turn it on, the minute Shabbos is over, even Akim, if it's a jet game, there would be even a jet game Akim to watch the guy get sacked 11 times. There would be a Kiyum HaMitzvah if that game was being played on Shabbos. Turn it on right after Shabbos. That's the basis. Therefore, the Ravid got hysterical. What's he talking about? It's only if you want to play on eating there. L'choy yon tabachon. Just Amazon. That's his mom who said, what's he talking about? That's how Rav Chaim interpreted this Rambam in the Ravid.
Yes.
A broader question.
Go right ahead.
It says, Morid, does it mean you can or you must? When you, if I'm correct, when you first presented this, you said you may.
You may. Now, according to the Rambam, you must.
But that's how do the words.
You separate, must.
How do the words separate?
Okay, that's a good question. Morid means you must. That's just not that you can. That's
like,
correct. Correct. Sarich. It as if it would say according to, you must go ahead. Yes.
So on that last point, let's say you didn't, and you had no place to go except eating your sukkah on the eighth day.
So the Rambam says that Pais law. You have to postle it. The next line.
So you didn't. You can't, and you've got no place to go, and it's the eighth day. Where do you eat?
Eat in the park. You'll violate, otherwise you'll violate Bar Taisif.
Eating in a kosher sukkah, even if it's not your intention to be...
Okay, that's part... Good. There is a long Taisif in Rosh Hashanah. I didn't do that tonight. Which discusses whether or not, in order to be the kind of Avera Bar Taisif, you have to have Kavanah to do the mitzvah. And this sugya is featured prominently in this to indicate that you don't need kavan. You don't need kavan. Because you have no intention to be, and you still have to pass the sukkah. Just say, I don't want to be mekayem the mitzvah of sukkah. So part of the, it's a machlokes hasugyos. Whether or not, in order to violate Bal Taisif, do I have to have kavanah to be mekayem the mitzvah or not? Or simply the mere fact that I engage in an extra activity that in and of itself violates Bal Taisif.
Is it a separate machlokes from mitzvah kavanah or not? Or it's related? Or it can be both?
That's another question.
So it can be related.
That's part of the long discussion, huge Taisif. If you hold mitzvah kavanah, then in the absence of kavanah, automatically you should not violate Bal Taisif. Because you should only violate Bal Taisif in the way you could be a kind of mitzvah.
The whole question might be: is if you hold mitzvahs, ain't shvichas karan?
So if you hold mitzvahs, it's a
no-brainer. That's part of that taisus. That's correct.
You can mix
it's part of that. It's a huge taisus in Rosh Hashanah about you blow extra tkiyas. You know, there's a whole thing. Can you blow 5,000 tkiyas if you want? Is that bal taisus?
Do it 5 times. Right. A day.
Yeah, 5 times a day.
Is there anything in the Gaon? Would if you if Zachreel is kiddush and all things, so why don't you use bread to even more make kavdala on bread?
Right.
Okay, that's a good question. You ask me a good question. If you didn't have wine, and the answer is you can't make kavdala on bread, because there is one distinction between havdalah and kiddush, that havdalah, there's no halach of havdalah b'makam suda. When we allow kiddush our pas, is because since the kiddush also has a function of koveya the suda shabbos, it can be done. That has no application whatsoever to havdalah. Okay, we'll stop here and continue next davar. Don't forget this.
I understand it. The Mishnah can't do.